It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me.
All right, we got some sound from Dan Campbell we're going to play, mostly because there's a difference of opinion. He talked about the Texans and what he thinks of their defense and D'Amico and their offense, and he gets to C.J. Stroud, and Sean's a little bothered by the tone of Dan Campbell.
I'm not bothered. It's just...
It's a little bit less than what you want as far as respect being paid. We'll see what you guys think, but first, let's get to Eric. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. First-time caller, long-time listener.
You don't have to lie. It's unnecessary.
Yeah, I heard through one of my sources that the Texans are making a play for Micah, a first-rounder next year, a second-rounder next year, and a third-rounder next year. Can you imagine how good the defense would be with Micah on the Texans' defense? And also, instead of having a prequel to weapons, they should have a prequel to the autopsy of Jane Doe, how she became a witch and all that. I'll hang up the listen.
Did you catch the character he was talking about? Did I hear Jane Doe?
I heard Jane Doe.
Eric, have Candy call back and explain what you're saying. As far as the Micah Parsons thing, no, I can't imagine it because they're already paying Danielle Hunter, who, by the way, is the 25th best player in football, according to the players. That part of the list has come out. Number 25, Danielle Hunter.
One spot ahead of Zach Bond from the Eagles.
Zach Bond, who was a guy who no one had heard of until... Vic Fangio got a hold of him.
Unranked last year.
Last year. Yeah, unranked and unthought of until Vic Fangio got a hold of him with the Eagles.
Like, hey, how about you play linebacker?
And now, middle linebacker instead of an edge player, and now we're going to pay you lots of money. As far as the Micah Parsons thing, no, I haven't thought of it. The Texans, why would they give up that type of draft capital and then pay Micah Parsons right before they have to pay Will Anderson? And still have Danielle Hunter on the books, I believe. So, while it's Eric, and sometimes you pay credence to what he's talking about, I don't believe he has any sources. And thinking of Micah Parsons as a Texan is fine, but financially and asset-wise, it makes little sense for this team who already has pass rushers, who already is, you know, they have a Daryl Taylor who they like. They have guys. Derek Barnett, who we haven't really seen very much of this camp because he's been hurt, he's still on the roster. We're not giving up first-day picks and second-day picks for Micah Parsons, all for the opportunity to pay him $40-plus million a year. And then, next offseason, go, hey, Will Anderson, do you want $43 million a year? No. Paying two edge rushers about $80 million per year? Nah. They got one they're going to have to deal with here shortly. And they're going to feel good about it because he's got real DPOY potential. Micah Parsons... likely will just get paid by the Cowboys. That's generally how these things go. Although pass rushers right now are, at least a couple of them are still asking for deals. Micah, Trey Henderson's still asking for deals, and now the Bengals have kind of let it be known through reporters that it'll cost you plenty to pry Trey Henderson out of their cheap, dead, cold hands. We'll see where that one goes.
Yeah, we're not going to pay this guy, but...
But if you want the opportunity to
you're
pay
trading
him
for one of the best pass rushers in the league,
yeah.
Now we don't want to pay him.
We think he's one of those guys, but we're not going to pay him like one of those guys. But just so you're aware, if you think he's one of those guys, you're going to have to give us a lot of stuff to make it happen, and then pay him.
Yeah,
since you think so highly of him. Thank you, Eric, for the call.
It was autopsy of Jane Doe. By the way, was the
don't know what that is. Okay. Is it a movie that neither one of us has seen?
Starring Brian Cox.
Nah, haven't seen it. Sorry. Brian Cox, great actor. Most recently. Yeah, for
loved
most
him
of us.
Next to.
Yes. Trask, was that his character name?
William Stryker.
Stryker, there it is.
Tyrion Lannister played Trask in Days of Future Past.
I do remember that Peter Dinklage found his way into one of the X-Men movies. But Brian Cox, we know him as Logan Roy from Succession. Now... we also know him as William Stryker.
Yeah. Guy from Troy, too.
He was the guy from Troy who wanted to make war, just needed a reason to do it.
I respect that. Got to respect that.
Why do you have to respect that? All right, let's play this sound. This is Dan Campbell on the Texans, who he will see in a joint practice. And that'll probably be the last competitive snaps any Texan you care that much about will be taking. Maybe Damian Pierce plays in the preseason, the finale to get him some snaps. If he goes in the joint practice, I can see him not taking any snaps in the preseason finale. But CJ, the defense, and D'Amico all mentioned, here's Dan Campbell on the Texans.
I'm really fired up that we're going to get Houston to come in here. It's only for one practice, but, I mean, those guys are – you know, what D'Amico's done out there has been really impressive. And I know this defense is they're the real deal. The way they play, the way they practice, go about their business. They got weaponry on offense. Quarterback's a good little player.
So that is a point of contention, slight contention with the show. Sean believes it's a little, slightly, not much, a little disrespectful to call CJ a good little player. Is it a little big bro-ish, a little bro-ish?
It is bro-ish. Big bro. That's more disrespectful than what C.J. Stroud did to Caleb Williams.
I don't know. He kind of patted him on the head. That's very disrespectful.
That's the verbal.
That's the verbal pat on the head?
Hey, you're a good little quarterback.
I can't disagree. It is the verbal pat on the head. Now.
No. You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
Now, do we excuse Dan Campbell because he's tried and true Texan, and that's just kind of the verbiage. That's how he's talking. Is he really disrespecting CJ or just being a Texan right there? Or is it more in the line of bless his heart, which is very disrespectful?
That's what it comes off as. Because also, it'd be one thing if he was Kyler Murray.
No, he couldn't get away.
Bryce Young's a good little quarterback.
He couldn't actually do it with one of those guys. Then it becomes a real thing.
It would make more sense.
It's only a thing on this show because we're stupid. But if it but if it happened to one of them, oh, he's a good little person quarterback, then there's a real problem. He wouldn't do that. He would
Is
avoid
Russell
it.
Wilson a good little quarterback?
You're a Super Bowl winner. You don't get called a good little quarterback.
Baker Mayfield, good little quarterback?
You think Baker would take it as an insult? Definitely.
100%.
Definitely.
He took it as an insult that I just said it.
That you would even joke about it
in that
way.
Yeah, he just sat up in his chair somewhere.
Wait a minute. Someone just insulted me from my home state.
Is that a chip on my shoulder that just appeared?
Not just a chip. The whole
bat. It's another chip.
The whole bat.
One more chip? Wow.
So I think it's just a Texan being a Texan.
But it's this part.
They're the real deal. The way they play, the way they practice, go about their business. They got weaponry on offense. Quarterback's a good little player.
It's like so effusive, and then quarterback's a good little player.
Yeah, he was not against complimenting D'Amico and that defense at all. And then he was like, you know what? I'm not going to call CJ a great player. Good little player.
Which is fair.
It's fine. He's not a great player
yet. You can say good young quarterback, good little quarterback. So.
You're winning me over.
I'm a little quarterback.
I'm still gonna go.
I'm also a tried and true Texan.
He's from. You're from Houston. That's different. He's from like Clifton, Texas.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, it's different. I think that's just how he speaks. I don't think he meant any insult. But
John and Lance, they have a good little radio show.
Well, that's what John does to people.
Yeah,
he says.
Is he being respectful?
Not at all. But he's from Chicago. That's different. They're all a holes up there. He's a northerner. That don't count.
You know what, CJ Stroud? Make him pay in these joint practices. I don't know what that consists of, but make him pay.
Maybe Dan Campbell remembers the second half of the game last year.
Make this Aaron Glenn and Ben Johnson Merchant pay.
We'll see. But
under a microscope now, buddy.
Hopefully our good little quarterback has a good day tomorrow against the Lions. No, that's what it sounds like when Kyler Murray throws the football, according to Raheel.
That was the Raheel Kyler Murray.
Yeah. That's fine, right? Dan's just being Dan. The guy said bite kneecaps at one point. It's fine. He's not crushing the quarterback. He'll get to see that quarterback tomorrow. Texans, Lions, joint practice. That'll be fun, at least if you care about the reporting surrounding it. Okay, we'll go to break if you want to call in. You got a problem with what Dan Campbell said to compliment your quarterback? Maybe you're on Sean's side, or maybe you just think that's a nice Texan way of saying, I like that guy. Okay. I'm looking at the phone line. That's why I responded to I responded that way. It's Katie. We'll get to Katie on the other side. She wants to talk about Autopsy of Jane Doe. Who doesn't? Speaking of John Granato. I can answer that question. I don't. But we'll hear from Katie on Autopsy of Jane. If you want to call in about a rather obscure movie, you can do that too. 713-780-3776. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Astros with a early start today, noon. They'll finish their series up with the Tigers. Fromber on the mound. Let's see if they can score a run and, more importantly, get a win. But, you know, got to score a run to get a win. So let's try to get that done today. Try to avoid getting swept by the Tigers.
By the way, we got a call in the break by Breon. He said he didn't want to come on, but he wanted to note something. Dan Campbell didn't even call C.J. Stroud a good little quarterback. He called him a good little player. Like, he's not even a quarterback. He's just a guy out there.
I can't say that the points being made by, you said, Breon?
Yeah.
And yourself. I can't say that they're not having an effect on my original opinion. I'm still going to lean into...
He's not being as respectful as he could be.
That's true. He could have said he's a good young quarterback. He called him a good little player. What's that about, Dan?
Don't love that.
I guess I would put it if I'm going to lean to what you're thinking. If someone had said about Jared Goff, he's a good little quarterback, Dan Campbell probably wouldn't have liked that connotation.
I probably would agree.
No, I think he's in on this guy.
Okay.
I don't think he would have seen that as respectful.
Okay.
But
I would say, well, I saw him throw 5 interceptions on Sunday Night Football. saw my own 2 eyes, Dan.
Yeah, it's true. Saw him lose to the Commanders at home.
That too.
Although the defense stunk, but because they had no bodies left, but still. Yeah. But Jared Goff was a problem in that game. We'll see what it's like tomorrow. CJ's not going to care that much.
They'll settle the score in joint practices.
Not really.
I need DJ Bienema
to talk about how CJ's actually shredding them tomorrow.
Or at the very least, keep track of who wins and loses this joint practice like that Eagles reporter did. I need him. I don't know who else is going to be out there.
If they weren't motivated by losing that Sunday night game, now you have bulletin board material.
Get you through a practice.
Good little player, huh?
Hmm.
That's 4 touchdowns on your head. How about that?
Hmm.
All right, let's get to Katie. She wants to talk about Autopsy of Jane Doe, and then we'll get into the top 100 players in college football. What's up, Katie?
Hey, guys. I want to talk about the Autopsy of Jane Doe. First of all, it's on Showtime right now, and it is a great horror movie, a lot better than Weapons. And we do need a prequel to the Autopsy of Jane Doe. I'll hang up and listen.
So it did good. It did get good reviews. Rotten Tomatoes had it at an 86%. Is it a lot better than Weapons? I can't speak to that because I've never seen it. But this is another one of Eric's, let's just say, friends. I don't know what their actual relationship is. In fact, it might be the same woman because they all have the same voice. That saccharine voice. It's very high pitched. It almost seems a little fake, but I think Katie is real and that voice is real because she's called in for the last 5 years under different names to the John and Lance show. But thank you, Katie. Thank you for recommending Autopsy of Jane Doe. Probably not going to watch it. It is free on Tubi for those who want to take a look at it. So not just Showtime.
The probability jumped up a little bit. Not gonna
that
lie.
You don't have to sign up for Showtime. You can just watch it on Tubi. And as we mentioned, does have a pretty good cast because Brian Cox is in it.
Mm.
Emil Hirsch is in it.
Okay.
You'll recognize that face. And the Jane Doe, appropriately enough, I've never seen before. Makes sense.
There we go. That's how you save money on the budget, too.
Can't have Jennifer.
Just going to lay there on a table.
Yeah, can't have Jennifer Lawrence play Jane Doe. It's got to be someone we've never seen.
Although that would be a funny cameo in like one of the like cop shows, where like SVU, like the guest star that day. Is just,
she's just doing a bit.
You just open up a blanket. And
it's one of the most famous women in the world playing the dead girl who wouldn't get a credit normally.
Yeah, yeah. Olivia Benson's like, ugh, it's disgusting what they do.
Yeah. Just cut her down in her prime, and it's Jennifer Lawrence on a cold under a sheet.
Yeah.
Just because she had some time and yeah, she wanted to appear on the show. Yeah, I love SVU. Love Stabler.
I'm a fan and I'm too busy to learn lines.
Yes, I'm Stabler. I love Stabler and Benson. And speaking of that, Stabler was at Browns practice. John made a very obvious joke.
Yeah.
What do you think the joke was?
About how many perverts are on the Browns?
It was more specific to one alleged pervert. And he said Deshaun must have been worried. Stabler was coming to get him. Yeah. I think Deshaun can discern.
would have like suplexed him.
He would have. If
that guy does not mess around.
If he was in character, he would. If Deshaun didn't have a ruptured Achilles already, Stabler would have ensured that he did. All right, let's go to something a little bit more serious than this show. The top 100 players in college football. I said very early on that one ACC team had the most in the top 10. Can you guess the team? And I said it wasn't Miami, so I think it's a pretty easy guess, Sean. Who do you
Florida
think it
State.
Is? Amazingly, you got that wrong.
More top 100 players than wins last season. No, Clemson.
It is Clemson. Clemson has three players in the top 10, which is fine. Clemson is expected to be good, expected to win the ACC, expected to be a real contender for the national title. I don't know that Cade Klubnik is the sixth best. Let me see. The fourth best player in football. I don't know that that's the case.
Yeah. That also means he's the best player in Clemson, which I don't think is the case.
I don't think he's better than Peter Woods. And TJ Parker will have some things to say about it, too. Yeah. But TJ Parker, sixth, the defensive lineman, had 11 sacks last year. And then Peter Woods is the defensive tackle, is ninth. So they've got three out of the top 10.
Article, they have like his 2024 stats, and then they have the 2024 postseason rating or ranking
yeah,
for each of these guys.
Yeah,
Cade Klubnik's so after the season in 2024, saw it all, ranked him
53rd. Yeah,
off season, he's jumped up 49.
Well, maybe 49 guys went to the NFL, Sean. I don't believe that's the logic, by the way. Just joking. But yeah, he's not the fourth best player. He may not be the fourth best player in the ACC, to be honest with you.
Fourth best player on his team.
I didn't want to do that, but that's possible.
We're already halfway there.
We already think two guys are better than him. If we're real about it, we probably could pick at that Clemson.
AJ Terrell's brother's also really good. Corner.
And Williams, the receiver. Pretty good too. I'm not sure that Cade Klubnik's the fourth best player on his own team, let alone the fourth best player in the country. The guys ahead of him, Caleb Downs with Ohio State, Anthony Hill, number two, Texas, and then Jeremiah Smith, the star of stars at Ohio State. And let's see. Anthony Hill, he jumped up 28 spots. Jeremiah Smith, after the postseason, course, helped his team win a national title. 16 touchdowns, was all world. He was five, so he went up to number one. Dylan Stewart, famously known as not just a really good pass rusher in the SEC, he's also known for letting off a clip in Jackson Dart. He mimed letting off a clip in Jackson Dart. Got himself a 15-yard penalty, surprisingly enough.
Jackson Dart was never the same player after that.
Somehow he's better, at least if I look at Giants preseason. Actually, you know what? That joke can't be made because I saw him play against Florida.
Yeah, I was going to say the Florida game gives back all
despite what he looked like in that preseason
game.
You're
going to have to do it in a real NFL game, dude. I'm sorry.
Very true. Texas has a couple guys. I mentioned Hill. Colin Simmons is there at 11. And then Ryan Williams, the first receiver we paid attention to as a freshman because of what he did against Georgia, is 12. So Ryan Williams had the early lead as far as best freshman receiver, and then we saw what Jeremiah Smith did when people started paying attention to Ohio State as their schedule got tougher, and he kind of lapped Ryan Williams with stats and with how people thought of him. So we got a couple calls. Let's go to – okay. We've got another call about – oh, she hung up. Candy. Was Candy the first call, right? Did she go by Candy? Katie. She went by Katie.
And this was Brandy.
Brandy. Not a lot of creativity. Let's – maybe don't go with the name that rhymes with the previous one if you want to fool the good people on this show.
I mean, not really fooling us.
We just welcome you. We don't really care that much. But if you are operating under, you think you can get one bias, perhaps don't call in as Katie, then call in as Brandy. Maybe try Jessica. I don't know. Maybe that'll trick Sean. Let's go to Keith. He wants to talk some NBA. We'll get more into the college football stuff when we come back. What's up, Keith?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. not sure if you guys touched on John Wall retiring yesterday, but wanted to take a deeper dive. Also, in John Wall news, it looks like NBA on Prime just hired him as an analyst. But my neck of the woods on Twitter is saying John Wall clears Derrick Rose all time. My question to you guys is, would you rather have John Wall or Derrick Rose all time? And I'm looking at some stats outside of the MVP that, you know, Derrick Rose won, youngest MVP of all time. You know, it might be an argument to be had here. Who are you taking all time, Rose or Kentucky legend John Wall?
You know, we did talk about this yesterday, Keith. Not that we won't touch on it again. Is your neck of the woods just your algorithm? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah,
you Googled John Wall at some point, and then you got a conversation. Fine. Your neck of the woods. We went through what John Wall accomplished before he got hurt with the Wizards. He doesn't have the MVP that Derrick Rose has.
Yeah, other than being the youngest MVP of all time. Other than that.
Derrick Rose did have a team as a one seed and led them to the each conference finals. Of course, they lose to the big three in Miami. John Wall never made it past the second round. We talked about how Kelly Olynyk, of all people, kept that from happening, kept him from getting to a finals. I think John Wall, when he was uninjured in Washington, was a very good player. Who knows what he would have become if those injuries didn't take a hold of his career. But Derrick Rose clears John Wall. He's got the MVP.
And he was, even after the injuries, he stayed a productive.
True. Derrick Rose became a guy who could start for you in a pinch, but became a productive bench player.
Yeah. Scored 50 points.
Yeah.
Like 4 years ago. No, actually more than 4 years ago now.
But I get what you're saying. We started lining up some of the accomplishments as far as all-star appearances. Yes, John Wall has a case. But this is just one of public opinion. He's not going to win. Unless you're a Wizards fan, or as you said, a fan of the Kentucky legend John Wall because of what he did at Kentucky. It's just not one he's really going to win.
You're in Keith's neck of the woods.
Yeah, because John Wall never won Rookie of the Year. That belongs to Derrick Rose. He also has, as you said, the MVP. Derrick Rose was a three-time All-Star. I think John Wall may have made it four times, so it's not that big of a difference. And as young players before injury, Derrick Rose, sure, on a better team, say better coach, Tom Thibodeau, more impactful player. But John Wall had a good 5-6 year run with the Wizards. There's no denying that. He just became a non-entity for the most part after that happened. The man got paid to not play for a year.
Yeah.
The Rockets were like, you know what? Nah, whatever.
And he got, basically, once he started getting super paid, he got hurt.
Yes,
that's really what happened.
That doesn't help either.
Yeah. And he was right, by the way, when he was like, wait, how much am I making? And how much is Reggie Jackson now making? Because it was like that. It was during when the cap jumped up, and like all the guys that were free agents just like were backup point guards getting paid more than John Wall was. And John Wall was like,
so I don't remember the circumstances of this, but Derrick Rose, he played with Detroit and the Knicks in 20. It's the year after the bubble.
Yeah.
In 21. In the shortened season, he was ninth in MVP voting. At 32 years old, two teams he played with, and he somehow made top 10 MVP voting at 32 years old. So, yeah, we're going to go with D-Rose.
Hey, someone gave him a vote.
Well, I don't know how that works.
I think someone gave him a vote.
And that gets you to number 9?
Yeah, probably.
Well, probably
not that many guys. What if you only do a first, top 5.
What if it's a first place vote?
That's even more ridiculous.
But top 10 in MVP voting, a couple of runs at trying to win Sixth Man of the Year so later like, in his career.
Jokic or Derrick Rose in 2021?
The Nick reporter, you know.
Yeah, wait.
Frank Isola.
The Iceman was just like, you know what?
Yeah, I don't know. I would have to go look into it. I'm not going to do that, at least not right now, to see where that vote came from. Appreciate the call, Keith. We continue the conversation because you called in. But, yeah, I think Derrick Rose takes this one. It's not as large of a gap as you would think if you just go by their accomplishments on paper.
It's definitely closer than, like, first.
Just laughing at John Wall, which we did quite a bit of yesterday for reasons beyond Derrick Rose comparison.
He had a funnier career than Derrick Rose.
Yes, Derrick Rose, there were some off-the-court things, but Derrick Rose, the player, people thought fondly of him, and the person, too, as his career aged gracefully. John Wall's career did not age gracefully. At all.
Glad that he's working for Prime now, though. Can't wait to watch him. He was on NBA TV and he was like decent.
Yeah, he doesn't do a bad job.
He was great on that one podcast.
If you say so.
Calling the ruckus trash. I know it gave Paul and I like an hour.
Did he call the ruckus trash or his time with the ruckus trash?
He directly called the time with the Rockets trash.
I think he called the time with the Rockets trash.
And then later in the podcast, he went into detail about how trash it was. And it wasn't, I share some blame in that.
Well, I think a lot of
Steven Silas catching him.
Well, he is the one. Steven Silas, of that time period, consistently, he caught it from anyone who wanted to talk about the Rockets during that time. Just a victim of circumstance, I would say, at least initially. That guy thought he was coaching Russell Westbrook and James Harden.
Yeah.
Turns out, no, he wasn't. Yeah. And then he had the wow factor. He had for 40 games or so. And then he had to be the Bo Porter, where you just coach this bad team until we're ready to win. He got his paychecks, not Monty Williams level paychecks, but he got his paychecks. And then he went on to work for Monty Williams in Detroit for that 1 year. What a bad run for Steven Silas. Went from a promising name, son of a coach, next up.
Was like the offensive coordinator for like a Mavs team that had like the greatest offense of all time.
He was highly regarded. Couple years in Houston, and now I think he's out of work. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Out of work. Did not coach basketball last year, at least not on the NBA level. Those checks still are in the bank, I imagine. I think it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Those NBA head coach checks mean he'll be fine. But the reputation,
not fine.
Down in the dumps. You coach the Rockets for 3 years, and then you go coach that Pistons team with Monty Williams.
It's tough. When you go like, I don't, all numbers inexact, 20 wins, like 25 wins, and then you go to the Pistons who won like 15 games.
He won 17 the first year, 20 the second year, 22 the third. Improvement. The team kept getting better.
Trend line up.
By 2040.
Yeah, give them another 20 years.
Yeah, by 2040, they're going to be a playoff team. All right, we'll go to break with that. Thanks, Keith, for reminding us about the Steven Silas year. Somehow we got there. Okay, we'll talk some more college football. We'll hear from Arch Manning, in fact, because despite what his grandpa said, the whole I'm going to stay in college for a couple more years, not something that he's thinking about right now. So we'll get to that and more of the best players in college football as we are just a couple days away from week zero. So we will certainly dive deeper into the sport that we both love when we come back.
But first, I want to talk to you about Prize Picks, a way that you can make some money on the sports you love, whether it's college football, NFL football, baseball, basketball, when that tips back off here in a couple months. If you like MMA, if you like golf, tennis, whatever you want, esports even, it's on Prize Picks, and you can use that sports knowledge to make some money. Luckily, given my job, I'm very aware of the Astros' inability to score runs. So that presents an interesting money-making opportunity for me all these starting pitchers, let me take the mores on their strikeouts. Let me take the more on their pitching fantasy score, because chances are, if you're going against this Astros lineup right now, you're going to have a good night. So a good way to do that is to look, hey, it's Charlie Morton. I remember Charlie Morton. Give me the more on his pitching fantasy score and Prize Picks to celebrate the start of the football season. Is giving max discounts for Dak Prescott on Thursday Night Football in a couple weeks when the Cowboys play the Eagles. And they're also giving out a Avery Johnson for Kansas State to throw more than half a yard in Ireland against Iowa State. I think he gets a full yard in Ireland. I don't know if its metric system messes that up. I think this is a pretty easy one. You go with the starting pitcher against the Astros, and you go with Avery Johnson, the throw for 1 yard, and you make some money on Saturday. That's all you had to do. Work last night with Tarek Skubal. Tarek Skubal, no matter how you put him in your lineup, chances are if you thought he was going to have a good night, he did have a good night, and you're on your way to making money. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use promo code MAPES when you sign up to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES on Prize Picks. Get $50 instantly when you sign up on using the promo code MAPES. You don't even have to win to get that money. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks. Run your game.
ESPN 97.5.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
So college football, their top 100 list isn't very different from like a pro list, an NFL list. Generally, quarterbacks just get elevated. And do I actually believe that Klubnik's the fourth best player in the country? Nope. Do I believe that John Mateer is the 16th best player in the country? I do not. Now, their importance, I understand it. But if we're just going by rankings, I think we can get the 16 players who are better than John Mateer.
I mean, I would count Kate Klubnik as one of the 16 that are better. Like, is this guy better than John Mateer? Yeah, probably.
Drew Aller winds up at 17. And you get to the other quarterbacks like Lenore Seller at 19, Sam Levin at 21.
Actually, Seller should be higher.
And then Arch Manning at 23.
Whoa, disrespectful.
To the guys behind him?
Yeah, to DJ Lagway. Five spots behind him.
He's two spots behind him. Yes. So the SEC represented quite a bit on this list as far as quarterbacks in the top 25.
Still need to watch that doc, by the way.
No, I don't. But let's hear from Arch Manning. All the noise surrounding Arch Manning was, or is, he'll be playing more than, or at least he will be the starter at Texas for more than one full season. That's the Manning way. They stay in college for 4 years. It appeared Arch was well on his way to doing what his uncles did. His grandfather even said as much. Arch, when broached with that topic, said this.
Yeah, I don't know where he got that from. He texted me and apologized about that, but I'm really just taking it day by day right now.
I don't think it's a story that Arch wants to give life to, what his draft stats will be. Field Yates already has Arch as the number one pick by the Browns in next year's draft.
Yeah, Field Yates said, F Archie.
You know, understood the name, the hype, but two starts. Is that the fewest amount of starts ever for the preseason number one draft pick overall to have?
So
two starts?
This is a little different. This is about the Heisman. But I think it was Bill Conley mentioned that he's college football writer for ESPN, mentioned that Arch Manning is the first preseason Heisman favorite with less than like 1,000 career passing yards. Or it's like something like that, where it's like, yes, he's the preseason Heisman favorite, and no one's ever like had less actual output than him for a preseason favorite.
So any conversation we're about to have goes beyond Arch and what he will be. Look, Steve Sarkisian, he can produce offenses. He will, whatever Arch is, however good he'll be in year one of being a full-time starter, they'll find a way to be productive because that's what Sark does. This isn't about Texas or Arch or, and what he'll be. I just would like the guys who do this to acknowledge 45 to 55% of this is about his last name. Right? If he, we know, right, if he wasn't Arch Manning, if he was another hyped, well-hyped Texas recruit, they have a lot of them. They've done a lot.
Yeah, Quinn Ewers. Yeah. Quinn Ewers says hello.
But only had two starts under his belt, they would not put him as the number one quarterback. In fact, they certainly wouldn't put him as number one overall pick.
Yeah.
This is about not just even the hype of Arch Manning from high school. This is about he's a Manning. He's got to be good, right?
High hit rate on these guys.
True.
Lance will do, like, there's not a whatever starting left tackle in the league right now with less than whatever inch arms.
Yeah.
It's like, well, there's never been a quarterback named Manning.
There's never been a non-number one overall pick as a Manning.
Yeah, that hasn't been a number
as a quarterback.
Pick. I don't know if Archie – I don't know if they had the draft on Archie.
I think they did have the draft.
Okay. NFL draft, not a military draft.
I do believe they had NFL draft. He was drafted in 1982. It's not that long ago. Yeah.
Wow. I thought that –
Sorry. He played for the Oilers in 82. He was drafted
– In like six
– In 71.
71.
Okay. And he was a second overall pick. So there is a Manning who hasn't gone first overall.
And that gave him the chip on the shoulder.
And look what they've done since. So while it's a pretty good bet that you put a Manning quarterback as the number one pick overall.
They figured this thing out.
I would say Peyton Manning, they probably did less of it back then. I would say Peyton Manning didn't get in his year, he would have been a freshman when he first started a game. So it's a little different.
Yeah, I mean, when he actually came out of the draft, it was him or Ryan Leaf.
It wasn't even a lock.
when he actually was eligible to get drafted, when he said he was going to, actually, because I think he was a senior. I think he played all four years.
He stayed all 4 years.
We'll see what Drew Aller or Lenore Sellers or one of these other draft eligible guy, John Mateer.
Yeah, sure. There are a lot of guys in the mix who could be first-round quarterbacks. Wagner. I mean, he's draft eligible. We'll see what he does with the Cougs. Hopefully he does play well enough.
I kind of think the Cougs are going to be not like good, but a huge step. How about that?
Yeah, Willie Fritz, he is a program builder, which should not surprise anyone if the Cougs surprise.
Same thing with like Nebraska with Matt Rhule. I'm like, by year three, he normally has this thing worked out pretty well.
We'll see if cosplay Mahomes is ready to go.
He's really got to stop doing that.
You're too old for this, man.
Either change your haircut or change your
Has he cut his hair to match Mahomes' haircut?
I don't want to look until week one. Okay. This will be another 7-5. 7-5, or if he doesn't look exactly like Mahomes. All right. Okay, I can start thinking. I mean, 9-3. Like I'm not going crazy here, but
I will tell you, going by his current look, he looks like the old Mahomes, not the new one.
Mahomes cut his hair.
Yeah, so I'm saying, did he cut his hair like Mahomes? He already had the old Mahomes haircut. I was just asking, did he update it because Mahomes did?
I was thinking cut his hair to not look like old Mahomes. But now I realize if he cuts his hair to not look like old Mahomes.
He may look like new Mahomes. Currently, he still looks like old Mahomes with the hair.
Grow it out.
Get that Caesar. Get that dark Caesar. Really change up the look. As of yet, the hair remains the same currently. So we'll see. I would agree. Matt Rhule, when it comes to the college level, what he did at Baylor.
He's going to be on.
There is a track record of him flipping the roster and then becoming a real player in the conference.
And Dylan Raiola, like, now we just rip him for being a Mahomes cosplayer. And he had a, I guess, disappointing season as a true freshman, but also most true freshmen are not very good quarterbacks.
Tough job.
I think there's a chance that he comes in and like, oh, okay, he's actually good. Same thing with DJ Lagway. It's like, I think they just comes in.
Yeah,
this guy's actually just awesome.
The Mahomes cosplay stuff is a distraction.
Yeah.
He is a talented player.
Yeah, it's just like, what if he actually is one of these like knows dad about it, five stars, where turns out you just need a year to learn how to play quarterback.
Yeah, on the college level.
Yeah, on the college level.
There's nothing about what happened with him and that team last year that to say he's not going to work out.
And I think people are just so caught up on the, and which is understandable, on the Mahomes stuff, where they're just like, I don't want to stick my neck out for this loser. Like, I think that's what it is.
Yeah, it's tough to back him.
It is tough. That's why I'm backing Matt Rhule. Although their defense probably is not going to be that good, so they're going to have to throw the ball around.
You look at it, Matt Rhule last year was very much like Scott Frost, that he made a bowl game when it came to losing one-score games that they had real chances to win. Like Nebraska last year, they lost to Iowa, who they hate, 13-10. One-score loss to USC, one-score loss to UCLA. That's a team, you flip a couple of those, you're talking.
Yeah. Do you know how hard it was last year to have a one-score loss to USC? USC had a lot of one-score losses to other guys.
Yeah, if you look.
to be lower on the total poll than that.
Nebraska, the one-score loss to Illinois in overtime. Lost to Ohio State in Columbus by 4. Lost to UCLA at home by 7. At USC by 8. At Iowa by 3. They are playing not like Nebraska late over the last, because that's kind of what they've been the last 5-6 years. If they could flip any of those, we're talking a team who could have won 10 games last year.
Yeah.
And with Raiola throwing 13 touchdowns and like 11 picks or whatever he did. Yeah. So he didn't have a great year, and that defense was good enough to keep them these ball games. Black shirts are back, Sean.
I think they lost their defensive coordinator. That's why I'm like, ugh. That makes it a little bit like...
Sean, the black shirts are back.
Okay, cool. Or do they have the same strength and conditioning program?
I can't speak to the level of performance enhancement that was going on back then.
Okay, just... I'd prefer if they're still doing it. That made me feel better.
I'm not a Steinkuhler, or was that a Notre Dame kid? I think that was a Notre Dame guy. I'm not a Winstrom. Don't know.
Okay.
I'm not a Raiola. Who were part of those teams back then when they were great? Certainly not a Lawrence Phillips. Amon Green. They had a lot of great players.
They really did.
Remember when Nebraska was a real thing?
I barely do. Honestly, I barely do.
They were real when I was really getting into college football as a young kid. They were a team I always hated because I never liked option teams, except for the Naval Academy because that's cute. Army, Air Force, Navy doing it. Yeah, cute little offense. And they're doing it because that's the way they win games. And, of course, back then, Wishbone, Flexbone, Oklahoma, Nebraska, I got it. It's historic. But when I was a kid, I didn't like it. I like drop back pass. Throw the football around. Nebraska hasn't been the same since. But Matt Rhule is a really good program builder, so we'll see. I just went over their schedule. They could have won 10 games, but
I didn't know it was that bad. They kept Nebraska. I forgot about the Ohio State game. Once you said it, I remembered. I was like, I do remember that in the third quarter randomly. I was like, wait, what? Like, looked at my phone at, probably a noon kickoff game.
Yeah.
I was just like,
they couldn't get out of their own way last year.
I'm going to have to flip this channel.
If they can do that, they got a real shot to be at least bothersome in the Big Ten. I don't think they're winning it. But they can elevate themselves. They had a good runway to being a good team last year. Let's see if they can capitalize on some of that momentum.
Yeah, that's they're kind of in the same spot of like some of these SEC teams where I'm like, I think they can be good enough to have a intellectually dishonest playoff case.
Even
I think they can be good enough to like
I agree
to complain about not making the playoff and we all roll our eyes.
Yeah,
which is like 9-3.
Keith, if you're out there. If you want to back a team who isn't really a contender that you want to put there, don't do it to Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Pick Nebraska, actually.
Yeah. They're a team that's made, like 2 bowl games in the last decade?
Yeah, if you want to back...
Insane stat, but that's actually true.
If you want to back a team who would be a big surprise to do the things you think Vanderbilt's going to do, Nebraska might be your choice. They could find their way, maybe in the 10 wins. We'll see. All right. That music means we're done for the day. Want to thank you for calling in, for listening, certainly. Paul Gallant's up next, followed by the Killer Bees. We'll see. I said it early. I was tired of being upset about the Yiner Diaz call. I've heard Paul's show before. I think there may be more anger that comes from him about it than me. We'll see. We'll see. It was a bad call. Cost the Astros a win. So did Caleb Ort. Throw a strike, please.
Does Ort catch one?
A competitive pitch, please. To at least entice the guy to swing instead of what happened. We'll see if Fromber and that Astros lineup can avoid the sweep. Game's at noon, along with Paul's show. Since we're done for the day, what does that mean, Sean?
That peanut butter scan.
Is that about Mahomes or Aiello? Who's that about?
I didn't have one. I wasn't sitting on one, so I just randomized it.
Gotcha. We'll see how random it is tomorrow.
ESPN 97.5.